Welcome to the Words Matter Pod with Akil Pinnock. I'm here with Houghton Fighter, creating of Wyzers, stylized W-H-Y, lowercase, Z-E-R-S.
Old stuff.
Decentralized learning environment. Learning, educating, and employing. How are you?
I'm doing good, my man. I'm doing good. Making a lot of strides with the platform and just trying to keep life balance, work balance, learning balance. So yeah. Things are good.
Yeah, so we up here in Orange County, New York. Seeing as you can see, you got the big, this is a koi pond.
Yeah, koi pond.
Got a koi pond.
Yeah, that's been my dad's thing for a while now. Investing into just first he started learning about it, then he got a little bit deeper into just the size of the ponds and just that relaxation thing.
Yeah,
being out here just looking at the fish and whatnot. So yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You hear those ambient sounds in the background, the waterfall. Always wanted to do a podcast outdoors, so cool to have this as my first one. Houghton helped me early stages of Words Matter before it was even had like the right equipment, when it was just an idea. Helped me out with just technological stuff. And we grew up on the same street in Spring Valley, so definitely continuing that theme of interviewing people, creatives from Spring Valley, New York, and from from Rockland County. Really just showing the greatness of our small community. And now we are into the education tech realm. So you said you were making some strides with Wyzers. What are those strides?
Man, it's been a 13-year process to get to where I'm at right now. First starting just trying to understand how to educate my daughter. First daughter, Naima, 13 years ago, and I knew what was important would be to have her to be able to have knowledge, to be able to maneuver through life. But it was a challenge to understand, how do I best give her the tools? Like, how am I going to even give her tools, feel me? And there's a couple of little instances that we had, situations while she was growing up, where I was realizing I wasn't giving her the tools. And if I didn't change how I was giving her access to tools that she's going to need, then I was putting at her disadvantage as she grew up. So I started rigorously studying, try to understand early childhood development. Started studying it from around the world, looking at different countries, Singapore, India, Japan, Sweden, just trying to identify what differences they do with how they educate.
Yeah.
And then trying to correlate that with their GDPs and see how is their educational models and their methods influencing how that country's economic situation is.
Mm-hmm.
So 13 years to now, where we have just different technologies available, it's allowed me to be in a position now to make it a reality, because I didn't know what I was doing at the time when I started. So I wasn't sure what the platform would have been. But with current tech and that merger, has really been able to everything to make sense and how this thing will go about.
Yeah. And who are you?
Who am I? That's a good question. I would say my identification is something that represents in the present. I know your history and your past is a big portion of who you are and who you become. But for me, my ideas about my present, what am I doing now? My past and my history is a part of shaping me to be in the present, to be able to do what I do now. But when I don't take on different labels or banners of saying, oh, I'm this or I'm that, because it sometimes the form reduces someone else's ability to identify that we're alike. So if I was supposed to put any type of capsule around it, who am I? Human.
Yeah.
Nothing else other than human.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, and then I think when we start to, people start to identify that, not that your different value points of your cultures and your communities aren't important, but when you are able to recognize the human aspect first, it allows us to recognize that we're not as different from one another, and it will help to reduce some of the conflict that we have in a lot of spaces.
Yeah. Why that name, Wisers? Like, what exactly is the significance behind that name?
So, Wisers is a compilation of a couple of different things. When I was at Spring Valley High School, there was a program called WISE that...
I remember.
Yeah. I believe 2005 was the first year that it initiated at the school. And the teachers there... One specifically, Mrs. Bond. She was one that was very instrumental with making school a little bit less horrible. I didn't do too well with the method and the system of school, but she and the way she was made it more tolerable. And when they came up with the WISE program that year, I had the opportunity to work for an architectural firm. And I was able to do a lot and experience a lot during that program. So that was always something that was always at the back of my head as to there was a lot that program had to offer. And it was always something that was a part of me as I grew. Then when I got further into starting early child education, and I recognize that the simple why, the action of the question, is the source and the starting point for learning. So when you ask the question, why does the ocean appear blue, then you can start the process of discovering light spectrums and how things reflect and stuff like that. So it's the why. Then wisdom is basically the application of knowledge and information that we acquire and how we apply it sensibly. And then I was always known as a wise ass and whatnot, smart remarks. So it's a combination of those different spaces. The wise program that I was a part of, the question that starts learning, wisdom and trying to take after you acquire knowledge, how do you apply it? And just a part of me of always trying to Bond, she would always say that I would always spend more time trying to figure out how not to do something than to just do it how they presented it to me. So it's a combination of those four parts, and that's why I came up with Wisers.
Yeah. Have you ever presented it to her, told her about this?
Yeah, so she has been very instrumental in this entire process.
Oh.
Over my years, I've always been heavily connected with her, just going back to Spring Valley High School, talking with her, because there's an element of the process, of the platform, that heavily influences and affects teachers. So being connected with the people that influence those that are going to shape tomorrow was important. And I had valued her instruction as well as Mr. Leonard and Mr. June, also teachers from Valley, that I've also been stayed connected with over the years since I graduated in 2005, that listening to them and some of the things that they are having issues with in the classroom are the things that help me shape how the platform should look and how it should better assist them as the educators that are going to turn around and be the ones that have foundational block for your next doctor, your next politician. The people that are going to run and influence people's lives on the whole. So the teachers that gave them their foundations, I think, needed some more support. And they've been instrumental in just being able to communicate with them, bounce the idea off of them, have them help me look into, okay, what else, how does this really just that some of those details. And I hope to have them as influential individuals up in the company as it grows forward, because I want to see them, the hard work that they put in, that return on investment for them as well.
What was the one moment that inspired this proposal? Was it with your daughter, you said? Or?
I would say that it inspired my investigation of learning.
Yeah.
I'm trying to understand how we learn. I'm autistic and dyslexic, but it wasn't understood and known when I was growing up as a kid learning.
Yeah.
So that gap and not understanding those spaces then made certain things a little difficult. I know I didn't read one book my entire 1 through 12. Reading a book, that wasn't not a thing. Even though I was able to excel well in the classroom, I didn't read, and it was partially because I had so much difficulty with it. And I didn't want to... cats gonna make jokes, feel me?
Yeah.
So if I start reading, ask me to read in class, and I'm over here stumbling over the these and does and three-letter words, you're gonna get clowned.
Yeah.
Feel me? So I would always... I created a disturbance in the class. As
a distract?
Yeah, as the class clown. What if I was asked to read, you best believe it's about to be a process. After a while, the teacher's just going to give up. They're not going to ask me to read aloud. Just because I'm not one, I'm not going to do it. But I'm going to be as much of a disruption so that you eventually just be like, I'm not calling on him no more to do that. So that is a part of it, of trying to, okay, once I then did understand that space, then I start to understand, okay, there's even more to people's learning processes. And some who identify as disabilities, or some identify as abilities, those differences have to be better assessed and better identified, so that individuals don't think that they're dumb or that they can't do something, and then disconnect from learning, thinking that learning is this tedious process, as opposed to understanding that they just have a difference and it just needs to be better assisted so that they can learn in an environment that's going to be conducive for them.
So those are the things you had in mind, like your I guess some people label them as disabilities, but being autistic and dyslexic, those are the things you had in mind when you created this?
Yeah, so that was definitely a part of the process. And for some, they see some reference as disabilities and some won't look at it as abilities based on just their personal
experience
with it. And both should be respected. Identifying, knowing if this person wants to identify as a disability, but they're not using it, they don't use it as a question. It's there, a part of who they are.
Yeah.
Or some just saying, I don't have a disability, I just have ability. So the balance is there. But it was definitely a huge element of the final stages, because after coming to understanding of that, because I was able to get access to a lot of mental health stuff after I finished my 9 years in the Army, just getting access to some of the mental health resources as a veteran, that's when I was found out that, it's the dyslexia, it's the autism that has been a part of your journey.
You were diagnosed with that after high school?
As an adult. Oh. So that's when I was 30.
Wow.
So and there's a lot of people that are late diagnosed.
Chris Rock.
Yeah, you have a lot of people that have that. And it really, it can sometimes negatively shape your experiences. I would say I'm a series of fortunate events. I've come from a large family, and that Jamaican culture, the setbacks that I have with the learning process didn't break me, but it helped make me stronger, just because of that support, that culture. And I come from a huge family of educators.
Yeah.
Principals, teachers, individuals that have been in school to then their 60s. One of my uncles that is also a huge portion of my understanding of just the learning process. He was in his 60s doing his doctorate. I used to watch him and see how he's working on his dissertation, and it was like 300 pages in for his dissertation when he was working in the educational field. So I've been around all these elements of education and learning, not realizing that that's where I would end up, because I never thought that's the direction that I would have invested my energies towards. But yeah.
How has being dyslexic and having autism, how is that, you know, you found out later when you were 30, but when you think back in retrospect, how has it negatively impacted you, if it has? And how has it positively impacted you?
So for me, I don't have registered certain things similar ways. My perception of a lot of things. So it ended up always being an additive, a benefit for me personally. I don't think there was. I've been when you think about like high school and friends and stuff like that, I didn't hang out with people outside of the school building.
Yeah.
I never thought that was an issue. It never registered to me that maybe there was something, whatever. Whether it be people liking me or disliking me or whatever the case would be, it was completely oblivious to it.
You didn't even think about it.
It never even crossed my mind. I was never invited to a party, never hang out with anybody after school. None of the things that influences kids' early development years did I ever experience in a way and didn't even realize it was something I was missing out, or something that was something I had. That helped me, I guess, when I didn't have those spaces, that it never registered that I was missing out on something. But when I was home, I was tinkering with tech.
Yeah.
I was taking stuff apart. I tried to build what we now have as the Apple Watch. I tried to build one of those in ninth grade. But it just wasn't possible. I was at the time, CDMA receivers was what Sprint phones use. I tried to take a phone apart to take out the receivers, but wasn't small enough. I would research on the internet to see what phones that were possibly could be turned into a watch, and it just wasn't possible. One, the resources to understand how to do it, the tech information, but then just the technology just wasn't there at the time.
Yeah.
So that's what I spent my time doing, taking computers apart. My dad worked on machines and printers and copiers, and there was always a lot of those in the house. After he'd work on them, I think I would may have made his job a little more difficult, because I'd go behind him and I'd be in it. Most of the time I try to get it back to exactly the way he had it prior to, because my dad is very detail-oriented.
Yeah.
So that even shaped me even more, because I realized I'm going to do what I'm going to do, but I'm going to get in trouble. So the only way for me to not get in trouble is to not get caught. Mm-hmm. So I have to be very meticulous with how I do this, because I want to know how this thing works. I want to know what it's about. My mom would get mad at me talking about I take everything apart, but I don't put it back together.
That's a common complaint growing up.
Yeah, common complaint. And it was because I didn't need to see it go back together. I just need to see how to take it apart. So for me, it was reverse engineering everything. If I can take it apart, then I can see what I don't like about the design. Because I don't want to put it back together what I had. I want something better. So all those things, the not knowing made me work harder in a sense, because I was trying to act some type of normalcy. But then it also helped me not miss some of the things that would be considered missing out on.
Yeah.
That type of thing. So for me, it was amazing, but I know that's not everybody's experience. Most people in that space get heavy labels as problematic, or they get early into the juvenile detention system, because of those differences, because the behavioral elements. I had behavioral elements. I was always considered that labeled as the trouble one, the one that's always going to be doing stuff, always in trouble, that type of stuff. And I just got to a point where I just accepted that. So it didn't negatively influence me in that space, but I do know and I have seen where a lot of others did not be able to have it as fortunate.
So all of those things, you know, taking things apart and putting them back together, sometimes not putting them back together, those are all the, I guess you could say, the positive attributes of you know, having those, having those diagnoses.
Yeah. Just being able to think with an analytical side and at the same time as a creative side, because that's one of the things with the dyslexia is that left-right brain crossover type. And even to this day, like, I don't know my left from my right, or little things that would be easy for most people to just recognize, I have to do a lot of different behind-the-scene things just to figure it out. Yeah. I throw an L up on my left hand every time I have to figure out left or right direction.
Yeah.
Real quick. So that, oh, that's my left side. Just little things like that. Or numbers. Numbers, I'm amazing with numbers. Math is my thing.
Yeah.
But if I'm looking at it and I say it out loud, it's always coming off backwards. I went one time, I wanted to pick up something from my dad from the pharmacy, and the lady asked me what the birthday was, and I was like, yeah, 1985. And she was like, what? I was like, yeah, 1985. And I'm saying 85, but I'm thinking 58. Whole time, I'm looking at her like she crazy, and I was like, oh, I'm the problem right here. Let me slow down. Reset and whatnot. So it's those little...
Yeah, like, wait, is your dad's 25? Like.
Yeah, it just wasn't adding up to her. So, yeah, so it's just I've over the years have built up a lot of different mechanisms and ways to maneuver, and then after finding out, it just made it easier because then I was able to actively do it and build these mechanisms and figure out ways to manage and then really harness that those abilities.
Yeah. So, you know, that takes me to the next question. What is a decentralized learning environment?
So right now we individuals
and thank you for sharing that, you know, because a lot of people may be dealing with that, you know, negative stigma that comes with those diagnoses.
Yeah, and it's getting better. A lot of spaces you're seeing more communities that support individuals that have those differences. So yeah, that's getting better, and just even some things recognizing like, oh, snap, I do that. Then it helps you walk down that path of getting the assistance to recognize, yeah, this is a thing that this is a part of your, how you experience the realities around you. But to your next question as what is a decentralized learning environment? You currently, education is heavily institutionalized, meaning you go to an institution and that institution gives you the banner standard as to your ability. You oftentimes you start to get separated in your 1 through 12 in different categories of intelligence.
Yeah.
To where one thing I hated, like with a passion, coming up was the Regents Honors AP separation.
Yeah.
And it really, I think, socially hurts that space because it's almost like honors kids looked at Regents kids as retarded. And I use that word specifically to really bring home how intense that separation was, because that word, something that people don't use as
anymore.
But that space was how it was looked at. Like, you looked at the Regents kids as less intelligent. And then if you're in honors and didn't make AP, you're not that dude.
It's like a classism within the institution.
Yeah. So, and then that helps to further separate what colleges you go to. And the banner of the college, that institution, becomes the identifying marker of your intelligence. So with the decentralized aspect of the platform, it's Now, I'm not looking to fight against current methods because there's things that do work. But there can be more balance and there can be a way we can enhance the process. With the decentralized element, it's no longer where the institution becomes your identifying marker of your abilities, but you are the identifying marker of what you've done, what you've accomplished, what you're actively doing. So when it comes to a decentralized, your learning experience and your learning environment is in your hands. It's in your control. You verify yourself.
Yeah.
As opposed to, even like on IG, to get a blue check, they have to verify you based on their criteria.
Yeah.
With this, you are the verifier. Mm-hmm. You verify your existence.
Yeah.
You are in control of your information. You are in control of how your information is used, and no institution or nobody outside of you can take what you've created and become an advance for it and not compensate you for the value that you brought to the table.
Yeah.
So the decentralized learning environment is focused on balance, wanting to work alongside alongside the current institutions as set, but give individuals the ability to be more in control of their learning experience so that they can better influence their communities. The more information people have, the better they can make informed decisions, the better they can influence their community, and the better society as a whole is increased. So, yeah.
And this proposal is made up of 13 slides, including the intro slide. On the first slide named Problem, that's in quotes for everybody watching and listening, you have diversity representation among educators with support and expansive compensation, end quote, listed as the first problem. What does diversity representation and expansive compensation mean to you?
That's dealing with seeing different teachers that represent the cultures, the spaces that individuals come from. I believe I had 5 male teachers from 1 to 12 and 3 were African American or of darker skin looking like me.
Yeah.
So, and that's being in a more open area in New York in regards to just
diversity.
So what that does is it limits your imagery and your understanding of what's possible, because if you don't see it, you don't think it doesn't enter your existence.
You don't think it is possible.
Yeah, that's a thing. So one of the things I didn't know that actively registered in my brain that there was a thing as a black writer until I was in my 30s. And that first black writer that I came upon was James Baldwin, I'm Not Your Negro. For me to be an individual that had been in current standards of education, identified as an intellectual, right? And to even identify myself, I'm pretty smart. I never actively thought there was a thing as a black writer.
Yeah.
Because every textbook or every book I was presented coming through honors English or through AP English and all these spaces, all the writers that were considered prolific writers were mostly females and of Anglo-Saxon descent, that region. So my idea in my head of what a prolific or solid writer was that.
Yeah.
So even my own writing abilities, I would never even identify the thought poetry and those things that I was good at was of value, because what I look like is not in that space.
Yeah.
So the representation and diversity is about allowing the younger generations to better see themselves in the future. Because if I'm a 12-year-old and I see someone that represents things that I'm about in a space of, in a just diverse spaces. So we just now had the new James Webb telescope and all the different ethnicities and cultures that are part of that whole process. A young mind looking at that, they can see themselves in that space.
Yeah,
they can see themselves as a space explorer because they can look up and see a female or non-binary or whatever the different identification markers are that represent them in these spaces. So those different things are important. And in education, opening that up and recognizing that there are educators of different types. Certain regions don't have the access to it just because of the region, but when we use technology, we can open up some of those spaces to be more comprehensive.
And what does expansive compensation mean?
So I think I've heard it from the beginning of time, teachers always talking about pay and their lack of it and how difficult it is. And now that I'm older, when you think about a person's, if a person has difficulties meeting their basic needs, it makes it very difficult for them to excel in whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
So the burnout that a teacher may have, they may have been a phenomenal educator, but by the time I got to them, they've been in the game 20 years, they're done, burnt out.
Yeah.
They have financial issues and all these other things that are influencing their ability to be that phenomenal teacher there where they are in first year and two, when things were less pressure. So expansive compensation, the platform is designed on blockchain technology and cryptocurrencies, and access to that allows for the information and the diversity within a teacher's lesson plan and how they educate and how they present the information to compensate them directly. So just being a phenomenal teacher and putting effort into your instruction and how you educate kids, that is your retirement plan. Your return on investment, and there's multiple different ways that investment is returned to them as the process goes, but this was created 20 years ago while I was in school.
Yeah.
And Mr. June, Swim Valley, introduced me to computers and technology and stuff like that. And the blockchain is going to be able to identify the different spaces that I learned, who I learned from, and how that trace elements affected what I'm doing today. So the blockchain will then be compensating Mr. June for the value that he gave me to further dig into technology, which was able to help me design something today. So it's not taking anything out of my pocket from what I'm earning, but it's rewarding him for the value that he gave and instilled in me in those early years. And to do that without blockchain is difficult because somebody then has to keep an account, a record of what was learned, and then figure out how to trace if it did have any effect or influence. With blockchain, that's instant, and the payout is instant. So the compensation, expansive compensation, is very expansive in regards to it can be a payouts based off of influence tomorrow, or it can be a substantial payout because of you just educated the next space explorer that figured out how we can travel between galaxies with a new type of spaceship that furthered humanity. So, that's expansive compensation.
And can you explain the blockchain to the layman?
So blockchain is, so you, in time we have had people are accountants. They keep an account of something. With blockchain, it's a digital ledger that records information that is verified by different processes based on the blockchain technology that's on. And that verification is able to identify if the information that is placed in is true or not. Once it is placed in is true, that information is now accessible openly accessible to everybody to identify and see what's on the blockchain. And it's a level of transparency of information, but then it's a way to keep records and accounts of things without a lot of the human errors that can come into play. And the verification processes, use of oracles, and different governances in different blockchains influence how something is verified as truth. And once it's verified as truth and accepted by the blockchain, it's there and it lasts there forever. Mm-hmm. So simple, that's blockchain.
Yeah. And with, you know, with Wisers, how will this be funded?
So there's a, in regards to this, there's different stages right now. I'm currently in this pre-seed phase, angel investor phase of the platform to help fund our first initial move, which that initial move is going to be where we're going to focus a bit more crowdfunding. So what I will be doing is, the plan is right now for January 6th of 2023, we would be a team of writers. We'll be writing from starting in New Jersey to Florida, across to California, back to New York, during the school year after the holiday break. And as we're writing, we're going to be writing to the different schools, meeting with different teachers in different schools, maybe the whole school, maybe one single teacher, or maybe PTA associations, and to talk with them and just identify what are some of the things that they're missing in the educational process. So while we're doing that, we'll be eliciting to companies to fund per mileage the writers on the team. And we'll also be reaching out to different Facebook writer groups as to ride with us as we go through your cities.
Yeah.
And then those individuals can then reach out to their individual communities to get sponsored per mile that they ride. And then that fund, those will go towards the crowdfunding, that initial stage for the platform. With that, those funds would then be a part of the infrastructure and set up for our first launch, for our first run with the platform in the fall of 2023 school year, with any of the teachers that we've met that want to become a Wiser classroom, schools that want to be a Wiser school. And then being that it's learning environments, it's not just about traditional classrooms, but non-traditional. I could be a garbage collector that over the years have studied life science to a whole different level. And I know me some metamorphic rock. Mm-hmm. They can become a Wiser educator.
Yeah.
And if they're within a community and a teacher is teaching on the process, that interconnection of this person that's going to give this expanded a knowledge set of this area of science is a part of that ecosystem. So it's allowing for individuals that have just invested their time to learning to be an educator, and those that go to be educators to be valued as well. So in regards to funding, right now I'm searching for angel investors, pre-seed, and then with our first launch, we'll be going into a bit of the crowdfunding phase and growing from there.
Yeah. And why is an immersive education important when it comes to education?
So immersive education, or more so learning and then say education, the more I'm engulfed in something, the osmosis, that science stuff,
yeah.
The more I absorb something, the higher the adaptation I can have, because I've taken in more of it. So not everything sticks, but when you get more of it from different perspectives, that one thing that does connect with you will allow it to have its stickiness, sticky factor. So if I can experience, say, anatomy in a classroom and my teacher's teaching it, but then go home on my handheld device, either phone, tablet, computer, whatever it may be able to get a digital model that I can expand and look at, and then turn around and put on a virtual reality headset and go into a laboratory, and then turn around and put on some glasses and be looking at you and get a digital overlay of your rhomboids or your trapezius and identify in real time these different things. Those touch points, the more immersed I am in that subject matter, I'm going to get it better. I'm going to understand it better. So if I'm a kid that wants to be a doctor, the more immersed I am in that subject matter, I'm going to be a better doctor.
Yeah.
I'm going to understand it better because I've had more touch points, and then the diversity
more hands
factor.
On.
Yeah. And then also just that diversity factor. If I'm learning something, peer-to-peer learning, which is a core part of the Wiser platform, peer-to-peer has been seen to be more one a very highly valued process of the learning experience. So if I'm learning something but then going to another kid my age, because of our commonalities, I'm going to pick it up a little bit better from them. Or they're going to just explain it better that I understand it because we're on the same level. But then if I then go further and experience it from a kid in India, a kid in China, Japan, because on the platform we can connect and talk about different things that we're learning, I'm now seeing it from a diverse lens.
Yeah.
That diversity is increasing my immersion in it. It's also expanding me as a human because now I'm more culturally aware. I'm going to see their environments. They're going to see my environments. We're going to be able to communicate and talk. So there's a social factor to our learning and our learning experience. And the more we're immersed in a subject matter, the higher the ability to identify, internalize it, and synthesize it to be able to output it in a way that's going to even further society and humanity.
Yeah. So, you know, how does that work in a traditional school environment? Because I understand what you're saying. You know, the way we're taught in school is kind of just you know, stay on a unit for a certain amount of time. You know, and there's multiple units in a school year or in a semester. But, you know, you have you're kind of pressed for time with how long you can stay on that unit. So you can't really be as hands-on, or students can't be as hands-on as you would maybe like them to be. So how does that work?
So being able to work with what already exists is always going to be the best.
Yeah.
You're not trying to tear down a structure and say this needs to go away. And understanding there's limitations. Everything has a limitation. So current structures would, say for instance, a teacher decides to be a Wiser teacher, their class would get a NFC device, near field communication. And instead of us teachers, or instead of teachers having to do that 15-minute window of settling the class and attendance, this, that, all those things, when you walk into class, the student touches their device. Most kids have phones in certain more advanced communities, or just some standard phones are common. They can touch their device to this near-field communication, and it will check the kid into class, so attendance is taken care of. No longer have to spend that time trying to figure that out. All the information that's going to be covered in that subject for that day, that lesson, is accessible on the phone. So the student can see, the learner can see exactly what's going to be happening. Teacher can get right to it. Now, if the teacher's on the Wisers, their entire plan and what their instruction is has its digital overlay. So this is going to give the teacher the access to basically 25 teaching assistants. So if a child is slower on understanding a subject matter, the tech is able to give this teacher feedback on that. if a child is faster and needs to go further, the teacher gets that feedback. So they're able to allow to push and pull and maneuver kids individually. You give the instruction in the classroom, but then this kid can go home, go back into the digital overlay of the class and revisit the entire lesson plan. Pause at a point because they missed that. Get that feedback, then go, and the teacher can now identify, where did the kid pause it? Why did they pause it?
Yeah.
Is it because they want more, they didn't understand it? How many times did they rewind back? All these little minute details that is almost impossible to collect and sort is now able to be accessible to the teacher to know exactly which student needs what type of influence. Does this student over here need to be pushed more? I know I took Intro to Keyboarding, and for the final, Ode to Joy is what most of the kids were playing. I was playing Chopin Opt number 4 in E minor for my final.
What melody is that?
Dang, I can't even remember off the top of my head.
It's cool.
Yeah, we'll cut that in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's what I was playing for my final. Now, it's an Intro to Keyboarding class because that's what I had to take for the process of the institution and that learning coursework that I was in. But Ode to Joy would have not done me justice. I would have learned nothing. I would have not connected. But the teacher was able to identify I needed something more and gave me more. Now, I got a C in the class, and rightfully so, because I did not practice as much. I only practiced when I was in class as opposed to practicing outside of class. And I took my skill set for granted in that space. So my C, others got A's in the class. More people got A's. But the grade letter doesn't really identify what was needed for me to learn. And then me just learning that, stop taking your skill set for granted. You actually got to put in the work. So being able to get information like that to a teacher to better assist the student, to know if this student is not getting that information that they need to go further, that's how it's able to work in the traditional school system and methods and enhance the classroom, allowing for even digital virtual reality field trips, local businesses. The blockchain can account for places. So if you have a local business that's also on the Wiser platform, teachers can know instantly times and locations of places that are approved and verified as places that they can take their class. And all the logistical elements can be done. So the teacher can know, okay, this date and this time, without having to make phone calls and this and that, because the tech took care of all of that.
Yeah.
So they can either physically go, or if that place has a digital overlay, they can go to the location in virtual reality headsets. And then some places, if they have the augmented layer, can go to a physical location and get augmented reality information in real time of what's happening. So that's how we can expand and enhance current classrooms to increase the learning experience and the learning environments.
Yeah. What is TREC verification?
So TREC verification is a part of the learning environment of how a learner, say, for instance, a parent puts their child on Wisers from infancy. And early childhood development courses, videos, human interaction experiences, going to school, all of that's now recorded in the block. So that learning track is recorded. How much time that kid, say that kid wanted to be a chef, how much time they've spent, how many hours, their 10,000 hours or beyond they've spent studying culinary world and investing into practice. All of that's recorded on the block. So when I go to now a restaurant to get hired, and that hiring manager, the hiring manager is going to get a whole nother level of information to make a sound decision, because their hiring manager may understand, okay, this is schools you studied at, great. You studied here, here, and here. But it doesn't give them an understanding of competency and proficiency. It's not going to be able to tell the hiring manager, if it's not the head chef, how that person's knife work is, how proficient their speed and safety within their knife work. Now, how that's verified, the AI of a person we upload to social. So when they upload their videos of them cooking, that AI is able to identify what's their knife work like, what's the proficiency in comparison to a Wolfgang Puck.
Yeah.
And when you see the differences, and say, for instance, that kid has heavily studied Wolfgang Puck. They've watched every masterclass for Wolfgang from Gordon Ramsay, and then you're seeing where that is now becoming a part of their skill set. Then on that learning trek, the hiring manager is going to get all this highly detailed information as to the proficiency and the competency of the person, and it's verifiable instantly just because of how the blockchain is able to record it and identify it's true, whether you know it's true or not. And part of it is, so we're going to be designing on what's called the Algorand blockchain, which runs on this thing called zero knowledge proof. So zero knowledge proof, just real quick, is I don't know how something works, but I can prove that it is true, even though I don't know how it works. So for, I can be a hiring manager, I don't know how to cook, but I can prove that you know how to cook because of the blockchain is able to verify that. So that's how, that's what the trek verification is of recording all your learning experiences, all your learning environments, whether traditional, non-traditional, and presenting more than a letter grade, but a proficiency and a competency level as to your level of that.
Yeah. Thank you for that explanation. Because, I was doing my research and reading the slides, a lot of things unfamiliar to me because I'm not, you know, super tech guy like you. But thank you for that. I'm sure everybody else is going to. Oh, there's an ant on the board.
Got him.
So if you can explain the multiverse and why it's important to include and incorporate it into education, as well as virtual reality.
Okay. So it's a part of the just immersion factor.
Yeah.
Multiverse is just a terminology used to identify the different verses that we will see grow as time goes on. Universe is just a breakdown of one space, as opposed to multiverse is identified that there's going to be different ecosystems and spaces where things can happen. Facebook has the metaverse and their ecosystem that they're designing. You'll have multiple companies and others design either for a metaverse or for other verses. So when we say a multiverse, we're identifying that we're not trying to pick one or the other. We're trying to embrace the differences that are going to come as time progresses, so that there is an easy way to synchronize and adaptations of those changes. And the value in that is the immersion factor. Some institutions may become metaverse classrooms. And if it's a metaverse classroom, we want to still be able to access that and be able to place that into the learning track, and still be able to make sure the learner is valuing, getting the value from the different choices they make on how their learning experience is, that they're able to get that return on investment.
Yeah. You stated another problem was that there isn't a clear understanding of employer needs and verification of proficiency. Is that applicable to all fields of education?
I think it's just applicable to fields, period.
Yeah.
Careers, where too often I'm hearing in a school environment, what you learn doesn't apply to the actual job.
Yeah.
And that was baffling to me, especially growing up, being certain X plus Y has a value, that's the value. So when you tell me I go to school to learn X, to then go to the job Y, and they don't match anymore,
yeah,
why did I go to school? That was my logic growing up. This not connecting. This not making any type of sense. So having a clear understanding from an employer as to what they look for, what they want, and if they're on the Wisers, they put out their competencies, they put out their proficiencies, they put out their standards. And I can easily be a 12-year-old want to be a graphic designer and see that a big graphic design firm that works for Pixar or any of these companies has these things that you need criterias. It's very clear, the transparency of what you want. So it's no longer a conversation of did I meet the criteria or was I not hired because of this and that. I can clearly identify what you need based on what you identify and you verify. These are the things. So that that transparency of communication between an employer and someone who's trying to get into that space is valuable, because then now I can be a 12-year-old, want to be a graphic designer and work for this firm because this firm, just the way they work, is just sensational. I can now start to go and collect the things that they say they want. And then they can verify I not only collected those things, but this is my ability in those spaces. So, yeah.
And after this education is implemented, what kind of employment will students be able to receive? You know, is that just any employment?
It's about you controlling you being the master of your universe.
Yeah.
You get what you put in, and it makes it more transparent to be just that. You get what you put in. So it's not we're not trying to be a guarantor for you to be employed, but we are trying to create a space where you can learn at a greater and more equal space, a consistency of learning, and then give you the opportunity to communicate transparency with transparency with industries or career fields that you desire to be in. And then it's now up to you to bridge that gap, because it may not be a fit being some of the diversity or the differences that this company has. So you're not guaranteed anything, but it's more so you have a greater ability to do when you're given the information on how to and the support to get there.
Yeah. What are the obstacles do you think you'll face when it's time to propose this? I guess you've proposed it already, so what obstacles do you think you'll face and what obstacles have you faced?
The classroom hasn't changed in about 100 years.
Yeah.
That right there is going to be a huge kickback of not wanting or this being abolishing or just that stigma that we're trying to crush or take away so that initial stigma as to that blockchain has been heavily associated with Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, so then there's another not stigma. Misinformation or stigma, but less information that there's more to blockchain is also in healthcare, blockchain is also in security, blockchain is in business, period. So getting over that hurdle of just the lack of information as to what blockchain is, then we're looking at not just being something for the states. The value of this is when we're going to different cultures and ethnicities. So, for instance, you can be in social studies or geography class and studying about Barbados. And because...
Which would probably never happen in the U.S.
Well, yeah. If it does or it doesn't, that's not really a wiser conversation. But say, for instance, it was to be able to experience in a digital overlay, because locations in Barbados are part of the Wiser platform, that you're not just getting the information of the country and the culture and the space, you're getting it from somebody who lives in the country, the culture and the space. So they're taking you into that space and showing you the details. Because when I went to Kenya, being able to experience food, not just from a tourist spot, but from somebody's home,
yeah,
is different. Because now I'm really experiencing the details, the nuances. And to be able to do that, it does a couple of different things. It's going to expand just tourism. Because if I'm experiencing this amazing cafe in this little spot,
yeah,
that cafe now has a bigger market. Because I went there in a digital space. Now I kind of want to go there in the physical space. So being able to start to bridge those spaces of the international waters and international markets is another thing that we see is going to be a little bit of a difficulty. I would say there is hope in that space because the United Nations has recently put out some information in regards to that education needs to be reshaped and how it's administrated. And they talked heavily about just the changes that investments into education on an international scale. And being able to do that is going to be another, that's what Wiser is looking for, to be international. Because when studying the different learning methods of different countries and seeing the values that they bring,
yeah,
connecting that more is going to enhance just humanity, period.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, those are a couple of the hurdles that I see. And just like cryptocurrency, when it first came out, had hurdles in regards to big business and banking saying they're not for it and against it.
Yeah.
But now they're getting with the program. Getting with the program. So it's one of those things that, yes, it's going to be a hurdle. It's tough. Even on the investor side, yeah, there's going to be a lot of difficulties. Mm-hmm. But it's inevitable. So it's for individuals that think, oh, it's not a thing, it's a thing. We even are currently the creator for Ethereum has a white paper out on this new thing called Soul Tokens, where he's looking to where it can verify your education or verify different information of that's non-transferable and in the NFT space. Right now, IBM has a platform on Hyperledger. Is it Hyperledger? I believe it's a Hyperledger.
What's that?
It's another blockchain situation that IBM has. And they're doing education verification. So it's not that it's not, is it a thing or is it coming? No, this is a reality. And just helping others to see that this is a reality and how to be a part of some of the transitions. We're not looking to take away from what's already been. We just want to enhance it.
Yeah.
And allow more opportunity from that enhancement.
Yeah. This is a question I meant to ask earlier. You also propose access to, quote, access to consistent quality learning environments, end quote. What is the quality learning environment? Because, you know, the word quality is in relation to education can mean something different to different people. So, you know, you don't think that might be a little vague to some people?
That is very vague. And it's one of those generalized things. It's very difficult to say what would be constituted as quality.
Yeah.
So in regards to that, and in regards to the Wiser situation, it's not just quality and consistency. So some place can have quality, but it doesn't have the consistency of it where it falls off after a certain age range, or it's not accessible after you get to this region. So the quality and consistency is a duo. And measuring that quality and consistency is identified by looking at just techniques for learning, techniques for teaching, and identifying something can have the quality of it is not as great because it's not meeting some of these baseline standards that already exist in the teaching world.
Yeah.
As this is some baseline markers that you need to have to be a teacher or to educate. So when I'm looking at quality, that's the markers, the floor threshold that we're looking at in regards to identifying what is consistent as quality. And then if it is quality, is it consistent? Does that standard hold true across the board?
Yeah. Thank you. Wiser's seems pretty advanced. I mean, the way you break it down in terms that, in the way, you know, just when you explain it further, it seems like it is something that it's a form of education that will make education easier for people or for students who aren't who don't really excel in the traditional learning environment, like how you didn't always excel in the traditional learning environment when you were growing up. But you know, at the same time, it seems kind of advanced. So how will this be taught to elementary age students?
So different age groups will have different levels because you don't want to have too early for kids learning experience where it's a lot of screen time.
Yeah.
You want to have a lot more human interaction.
Yeah.
So in those spaces, it's a little bit different. Some of the learning environment elements are going to be more physical.
Yeah.
And how they interact with those physical things that would be able to be inputted into the Wiser blockchain platform. And that's what they call oracles. Oracles are verification elements that help to identify something to be true. Right now, I believe my city of Miami is on the Algorand blockchain, and they have their air quality system is something that is on that tech, to where different weather devices are able to be oracles to verify the weather at a certain time, the air quality, stuff like that. So similar to that similar space when you have younger kids, their toys, the things they play with, the gamification. Gamification is another key element aspect of the Wiser platform. And being able to play is a sign of intellect. We have when artificial intelligence were trying to identify its how smart it was, they played Go or chess.
Yeah.
And if the AI could beat human Go masters, it was considered to be intelligent.
Yeah.
So that same concept, you continue to play. So for elementary, it's allowing them to play, and the capture of their play with different oracle devices, toys that they play with, interactions to identify how they're experiencing that in their reality, and that feedback will be a part of their learning track. And then it gives teachers feedback as to this child may not be auditorily stimulated the same way as another child,
yeah,
and they may need some assistance in this space.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it works in those spaces for younger generations. And then as they grow in age and they start to experience digital overlays, augmented, and all these other elements, that they'll get some more input from those spaces as well.
Yeah. So if Wiser's is approved to be taught in schools, what will you say to the teachers who don't want to teach it or are skeptical about teaching it because the curriculum is unfamiliar to them, or how their curriculum is taught is unfamiliar to them, and they just want to continue to teach in what they're used to, in a way that they're used to?
So the beauty of it, there is no change to how they teach.
Yeah.
They're not changing anything. Wiser's is not identifying that you're going to do something different from how you've been doing it. It's about how you are doing it, digitize it, and make it more accessible. When it's more accessible, then your students can get more from it because they can revisit, they can get expansion, they can get into things that you weren't able to cover in the 45-minute classrooms time. Because you further went in and broke down the Pythagorean theorem and did proofs. Not every classroom that does Pythagorean theorem gets to talk about proofs.
Yeah.
So when the teacher can then add proofs and then the kid go back into the lesson and then they identify, oh, there's proofs, and to see what the proof looks like and experience that, that's all it is. So Wiser is not going to change how you teach or your teaching methods or tell you to do something different. It's just, are you wanting to be able to earn more for a teacher? You can earn more. Do you want to be able to give your students more information and then make the beauty of your teaching experience accessible to a kid in a region that does not have teachers of your caliber yet?
Yeah.
And then inspire those kids in that region to become a teacher so that now that is able to be more local. That's what Wisers is going to do. So it's not going to have a teacher change what they do. Just enhance what you're already doing.
You know, just adding on to that, will Wisers be broken up into different classes by period or, you know, like a traditional high school and middle school environment?
No, so there, it's just, Wisers is the digital aspect, the digital overlay of what you're doing.
Yeah.
So if a school, however they're structured, that's their structure. We're not interfering with your space.
Yeah.
We're adding to your space.
Yeah.
So we're giving your space another layer and connecting other learners together and other educators together, and then allowing the end user, the end states, you learn so that you can become employed. The employers to be able to communicate with the educators, we need to this more of this to be taught, or the learners, you need to learn this to be qualified. Yeah. So it's about the transparency and the connection of the different spaces. We're not going to be administering or governing or telling this school district or that school district how to teach.
Yeah.
No, we're just going to give you the tools to enhance how you are teaching.
Yeah.
And as that happens and as just places get more access to more learning, you're going to have learners become teachers and teachers improve on just the whole process, which is how life has happened. So when we're more connected, our evolutions are greater because of that interaction. So there isn't going to be any change to the school structures. That's the school's determination. And the principal, the school district, the boards, that's their determinations. We're just coming to you and saying, yes, we understand you have limitations. We understand you have difficulties, budgets, and all these different things. So on our end, we're going to give you tools to make it more accessible for your learners. And then because this is a digitized platform that is global, then we can, the value is offset, the cost is offset because it's a shared space.
Yeah. And can you explain cryptocurrency? Because, you know, it's like a popular thing people have been talking about, and it is the direction. It seems like it's the direction that we're going in as far as just a different form of money, really. So specifically Bitcoin, because I've been hearing about it for about 5 years now, but I feel like during the pandemic, I started to see many people who I never knew to be into finance try to use crypto as a source of passive income.
Yeah, that's a very expansive thing to discuss, in a sense.
Yeah.
Because Bitcoin and cryptocurrency, two different concepts.
Yeah.
Cryptocurrency is a digitized form of currency.
Yeah.
To where, in all honesty, it's just a natural maturation of trade and commerce.
Yeah.
Because if you look at it, you went from spice, your introduction in school about the spice trades.
Yeah.
You are trading goods for services. Then you're identifying that there needs to be a more measurable way to identify the value of two different things. I'm not going to walk around with a cow in my back pocket to get a horse. just the logistics just don't work.
Yeah.
So then you come up with, oh, let's, we found gold. We used a gold standard, and gold's value as a element and its ability to keep its qualities and not diminish is what made it valuable. So we now have a gold standard, but then there's also silver, so we can also use silver. But the gold has a more higher value. But then if I'm buying a house, I'm not going to walk around with 40 pounds of gold. That gets heavy.
Yeah.
So we go to notes. Then from notes, we go to bills. From bills, we go to checks. From checks and bills, we go to the debit card. Yeah. From the debit card, we then get the credit card. Now, the credit card can be uploaded onto a phone in a digital wallet. Cryptocurrency is just the natural maturation of trade and commerce.
Yeah.
So without getting over the whatever, cryptocurrency is just the next stage.
Yeah.
Bitcoin is yen to pound to francs to dollar. It's just a different currency, just like you would have different cryptocurrencies on different crypto markets that can be traded and transferred based on what's backing them and assets and different things like that. So, yeah, that's what Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is just a different type. So as if I had U.S. dollars, or if I had a pound, English pound, or if I had a yen.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Bitcoin is.
Yeah. Do you think that a person can be financially literate if they're not digitally literate?
Financially without digital. At this stage right now, yes. 20 years, not a chance.
Yeah.
Just like when
even shorter than that.
Yeah, shorter than that, but that's by 20 years, it's a no, it's a no go.
Yeah.
No go at this station. Just like when you could run a business about 15 years back and then you can know how to use a computer.
Yeah.
You can still run out your business. Now, you're screwed.
Yeah.
Your transaction speeds are going to be too slow. Your ability to interact with your customers are just not adequate. You could have ran a business and not been on the internet. You're not on the internet in a business right now. You're in a business that doesn't exist. Even if you're physically there, your legitimacy is diluted because you're not digital.
Yeah.
So, yes, right now, but we're getting to the stage where you have to be digitally literate, which as generations move, that's not really even be hard. That's really not even a conversation, because my 3-year-old knows how to work some computers.
Yeah.
So her digital literacy is there. Now, the gap is when we are digitally consuming but don't know how to digitally create. That's the dangerous gap, because you can consume digitally all the time and just be able to touch something and make it move, but if you don't understand how something is working, then now you're subjected to its abilities. So there is that need for digital literacy and digital understanding.
Yeah.
Because down the line, you can be digitally literate, financially literate, but you can be screwed because you don't understand how it works.
Yeah, I get that. And what's next for Hewton and Hewton Fighter and Wisers?
What's next is I'm looking at some entrepreneur programs too out of NYU. NYU has a very solid entrepreneur support.
And you're still going to school there, right?
Yes, I'm my senior year at NYU. Okay.
Congrats.
So they have a entrepreneur program for startups, and then they also have another program for veterans. So I've recently applied to both. I'm also currently actively looking for co-founders and others that have understanding of the different tech spaces, or not even just the tech spaces, just human spaces. I want the company to be extremely diverse in its structure and its operation management, very diverse. So I'm actively looking to onboard any and everybody at the early stage. Early stage, obviously, equity, because a lot of this part is equity, sweat equity. So the energy and effort you're putting in would then go to the equity ownership and the compensation of the company. Yeah. So that payouts is of that stage. And then as we become more funded, then that transfers to current salaries and stuff like that. So that's what's next right now, is building a more of a team, because this thing is massive in regards to behind the scenes structure.
Yeah.
And communications, and there's things that I'm just not really good at, and there's a lot of the human stuff.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that human stuff that I prefer to be in my lab, code and write, and I'd stay in there for days, don't interact with anybody outside. But that's not possible.
Can't really get off the ground like that.
You can't get off. Yeah, it's just not happening.
Yeah.
So being able to have a better support team around that space, people who are better with that interaction, because we have to contact teachers, schools around the country to figure out what exact route we're going to be riding, which schools we're going to stop at. So there's a lot of communication happening in that space. So individuals that talk to people thing, I'm not too good with that. So that's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Building the team, expanding the team, and either which way, if tomorrow came and no one else decided to join Wisers, Wisers is going to happen. I've been at it for this long.
Yeah.
I understand the value of the learning experience. So either which way, if I have to do 22-hour days, sleep 2 hours, work 22, I'll make it happen. So that's where I'm at. That's what's up next for Wisers, is building the team, making sure the things are done and necessary in regards for the launch for January, and preparing for that and steps further after that.
Yeah. And why do words matter to you?
Words matter because that's how we communicate. Like, I can go someplace and say, what up, my dude? Or I can say, how are you doing? The words matter, because when I go different spaces, if you want to interact, you want to communicate, you want to be human, you use words. Then to expand and excite the mind, I might use words in a manner that is more exploratory, to paint pictures. So words are everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, words are everything. They matter because that's how we can be human. Without that form of ability to communicate, we almost become primate animals, where it's do and do and do based off of what you do, as opposed to do and we can do more, do less, or change what we do. That's what the communication factor does, and that's what the words allow us to help us to do.
Yeah. I think it's a good place to wrap it up. Thank you, Hugh and Fighter, for allowing me to come up here to your crib up here in Orange County and interview you about, this initiative that you have, and hope to see good things come out of it when you launch it and know, see it definitely make a change and add on, you know, or add on rather to what already exists in school, you know, and give just a different perspective of how we could be educated. So thank you for that. And for everybody watching, listening, you can go on Words Matter Network, YouTube, like, comment, and subscribe this video, all the videos. Go on YouTube, go on Spotify, go on Apple Podcasts, and subscribe as well, and share, and comment everything. And thank you, man. Thank you for listening. Words Matter.
Most definitely.